anytime there's a song that that old, it's free to the public. So a lot of times you have to pay for words that we use. We have a license to do that, but that's an old song. I remember the first time we sang that 4 or 5 years ago. No one had ever heard about it before, but it's an old, beautiful hymn. I don't know if you can see the picture up here. But it says, one of the greatest threats of America is the fact that our school system is not teaching the next generation morals. American exceptionalism, free enterprise, the Constitution, the dangers of socialism, or the value of hard work. Well, this morning we are going to talk about the dangers of socialism. It's been a couple months since we've been in our series here, Prophetic Clues in the News. But so far in the series, we've looked at a number of different things. We've looked at if you remember, we showed a woman who grew up in Austria, and she talked about the danger of socialism and how Hitler brought all that stuff in. Will America have a role in the end times? We looked at that 1 week. Why do we even study the end times? We looked at the week before the election. What was at stake in the coming election? We looked at all the different things that were being shared. And in our last one, we looked at the importance of Israel in the end times. We want to watch a video this morning, quick here, that that I found a couple weeks ago. And this is a pastor, if I have his name down, Jack Hibbs. And he does different topics, but he did this one on socialism. And I want you to listen to what he says, and we'll come back to this at the end of our message this morning. But listen to what he has to say.
Interesting, because as a kid, I grew up in the public school system and learned all about the dangers and the policies, and it was just normal civics. We had to have civics growing up in elementary school and in high school, and that is the belief system. I believe actually it's a belief system. It's an ideology of socialism, communism, socialism. You think of Russia, in my day, Soviet Union, but there's other socialistic areas and practices in the world. What does the Bible say about it? The Bible calls it evil, quite frankly. The Bible nowhere acknowledges socialism as a good thing. The interesting thing is this. Karl Marx, one of the fathers of modern-day socialism, he used the book of Acts to argue for communal living under the rule of socialism. He cited that the early believers in Jerusalem decided to sell all the things that each individually owned and make a common pot. You've all read that in the Bible? Guess what? Did God tell them to do that? Did God tell them to do that? He did not. They did it. Didn't say God told them to do it. And within a decade, the church in Jerusalem was starving to death. They had lost their properties. They had lost their incomes. They were starving to death. And the church, the New Testament churches that were born by the Apostle Paul in Asia Minor, had to send money to the church in Jerusalem to sustain them because they had starved, because they had sold everything. And in a communal pot, very quickly, it evaporates. Socialism has never worked. It's never worked anywhere. Europe is reeling from failed socialism. The Soviet Union imploded. China is growing right now. Get this. China is only growing because in the last 25 years, China has embraced capitalism. Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny? Listen, the truth of the matter is no one has ever worked for a poor man. You've never worked for a poor person. Socialism keeps people poor. You say, no, it doesn't. It makes everybody equal. Oh, no, it doesn't. Socialism sucks from the common pot that those who are common put into it so that everyone's common. Common. Everyone is common. Why have we never seen that in the world? Why, where communism and socialism and the isms are in power, there's a few at the top of the food chain while the workers do all the building. Isn't that interesting? Socialism will never work because men are desiring of other men's stuff. Men are greedy. So theoretically, in a sense, it works in the head. It doesn't work in practice. And so here's where the Bible supports. The Bible says, if a man does not work hard with his own hands, neither shall that man eat. Well, that goes against socialism. The Bible says that we should strive to do whatever we do to the best of our ability. We should provide. The Bible says if a man does not provide for his own home, he's worse than a non-believer. The Bible talks about God blessing us monetarily with obedience to God. The book of Proverbs is replete with words of wisdom on how to get wealthy and to have a sustained life. The Bible says that the lazy man reaches over to the pot of the man who has something and he is rebuked. His hand is pushed away. And God says, you just keep pushing his hand away. Listen, what are you supposed to do with somebody who will not work? Isn't that a problem? It's a big issue. What do you do with somebody who's too lazy to work? It's a big problem. See, today in California and in the United States, we reward laziness and we exalt socialism and say, well, everybody needs to have the same thing. We need to penalize the guys that work hard and make the money. We need to penalize Mark Zuckerberg. We need to penalize Bill Gates. We should penalize Oprah Winfrey. We should penalize, now I just saw on the news this morning, Barack Obama. Barack Obama's worth almost $20 million now since he got out of office. Hey, we need to take his money away. You think Obama's going to give up his $20 million bucks? You think Oprah's going to give it up? Do you think Bill Gates is going to give it up and become poor? You see, yeah, but they've given up a lot of money. They're not poor. Here's the deal. They shouldn't give up all their money. They can share. They can do whatever they want to do. That's their choice. But the truth of the matter is, global activity has always rewarded hard work. What's wrong with our culture today is lazy people want what the rich guy who has worked hard to get. They don't want to work for it. They want it handed to them. It's called entitlement. Entitlement is a sister to socialism. Entitlement and socialism is the foundation for the austerity programs. Austerity programs is where we use the westernized version called welfare. And welfare as it's used today is destroying the United States. Welfare works fine for those who cannot work. But for those who can work and do not work because they choose not to, that is socialism. I want what you have because I don't want to work. And the Bible says you do not get to eat. Why? Because your hungry tummy, the book of Proverbs says, will force you to go to work. And I think that's great. Bottom line is this, when you work hard, you have great self-esteem, you have great vision, you have great self-worth, and you have a tendency to bring others with you because you'll employ them, you'll hire them, you'll
need
to hire them because your hard work's being rewarded. So listen, in our public school system today, socialism's being exalted. That's a dead end. Hasn't worked anywhere. It's not going to work. Listen, our next and final installment for
Stop
our
there.
Worldview, how to vote, how to engage.
All right. We're going to look at something today that obviously is in the news quite a bit. Oops. I did put that up. The Democrats, number of Democrats are very much promoting this. Bernie Sanders, the man there, obviously he promoted that in the last campaign, wants free education, wants free health, wants free everything. The woman, is it Ocasio-Cortez or something like that, has very much promoted socialism. And I like what Winston Churchill says. He said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. We're going to quote Churchill again in a little bit, but this is a topic that I think we need to address because it's prophesied in Scripture. I knew Russ was not going to be here today, so he was in my office talking to me the other day, and I said, I want to show you a video, and I didn't show him the whole thing, but showed him the video I just said. I said, have you ever heard of that before? He goes, no, but I've never sat under good preaching like that. So isn't that, you guys can laugh at that. I thought that was pretty funny. That's the kind of respect I get here. But he said, yeah, I've never heard any of that because I don't usually sit under good preachers. But what that guy had to say, that Pastor Hibbs, was pretty frightening stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But I want you to hear one thing that Bernie Sanders said. He said he's called himself a democratic socialist. And if you've ever heard that or you've heard that term, it's something he talked about quite a bit back when he was running for election. And he asked to explain that. He said, it means this enormously powerful government that I'm part of is going to be elected democratically by the people. So they're promoting socialism. They want to do away with the American Constitution. And they say, we're going to be voted in by the people. If that had been said 30 or 40 years ago, we would have probably laughed. But look at the people who've been voted in November. Democratic socialists. The woman here, Ocasio-Cortez, has talked about wanting to be like Venezuela. She wants our country to be like Venezuela. Venezuela, about 15 years ago, was a very prosperous nation. Now you'll see them in the news because of socialism, they're crumbling. And I really appreciate what he said about China in that video, that about 25 years ago, China left socialism. They're still communist type of country as far as religion, but economically, they are far passing America because they've embraced capitalism, because of freedom to build and to do what you want to do as far as a country. But the other Muslim woman, if you saw that this week, that's been in the news, she said that she wants to tax very wealthy, not that that's going to affect any of us, but did anybody see that the percentage she said? 70, she started at 70, she said we're going to tax the very wealthy 70, 80, no, probably 90%. 90% of a wealthy person's income they want to tax. That will never pass, I don't think. I don't think the wealthy will allow that to happen. But I want you to see that socialism is gaining strength. Let me just read what I have here. This is a quote. Today, socialism is gathering strength. What people don't understand about democratic socialism is that it's the aim of socialism in the United States is to overthrow its constitutional form of government by violence if necessary. Socialists usually downplay this, but the protests and riots occurring across America are not really against President Donald Trump. Listen to this. They're not really against President Donald Trump. They're against the constitutional system of government that he leads. That's by Andrew Miller. He's not a Christian by any means. But he said, you look at what's going on in our world. It's not because of President Trump's necessarily his beliefs or people don't like him. It's because he stands on the Constitution. And we're going to see this happening more and more and more. Let's pray once again to ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we realize that what we're looking at is a topic that probably wouldn't be popular in the world. And certainly something our president and conservative people are standing against. But Lord, as we were talking early before the service, we just see so much happening in our world that we can't believe is going on as far as the devaluing of life. And yet, Lord, we believe that this stuff's happening because you're permitting it, but because we're so far away from you. As we look at man's heart, we know that it's desperately wicked. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless our time. Lord, help us to understand that your word does address the stuff in prophecy, that we're not just picking a topic and randomly talking about it, but this is something that's in our news, and it's something that you prophesied. So Lord, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Margaret Thatcher once said, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. And that's what socialism is all about, is taking what we all have and giving it, as he said, to those who don't want to work. Today we're going to look at the dangers of socialism, but the question is, does God say anything about it at all? If you have, I think I have put it in your notes there. Let me just get the notes out. The two of the Ten Commandments deal with this subject, and you might say, well, how do you get that? Well, the Eighth Commandment says, you shall not steal, Exodus 20:15. You shall not steal. Exodus 20:17, the Tenth Commandment says this, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. So if we're not to steal, if we're not to covet, that is telling us there are things that belong to someone else, and it's wrong for us to have them. It's wrong for us to want them. It's wrong for us to steal them. It's wrong for us to covet them or to desire them. But here's a few other verses for us to keep in mind. He mentioned this one. He said, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even if we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Another one. It is written that others should be eased and you burdened, but as their matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time shall supply. This is, he's writing to the church of Corinth, shall supply their needs so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth talking about this collection. And then the other one, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. See, that's something that we don't see going on in America. I've talked to business owners in our town here who say, we just can't find young people to work. We can't find young people who are willing to come in and to not call in if they have a ball game or if they just don't feel good, they'll just call off. If they have a dance or something, they won't let me know. They'll call me like 20 minutes before they're supposed to show up for work and just say they're not coming in. We don't have the working mindset in our society today, but we certainly have a I-want-what-anybody-else-has mindset. Let me just give you a little bit of history. I'm going to give you some quotes here. I don't have all the names of everyone. But the Socialist Party in America was founded in 1901. When it was first introduced, a lot of the unions and social reformers really bought into it, but it never did well in any of the presidential elections. So it was shocking, and I brought this up this week and read the article. In 2009, February 6, 2009, the country was kind of shocked because Newsweek magazine had on their cover this statement, "We're all socialists now." And they gave proof in the article saying that the magazine, under a conservative Republican administration, had basically nationalized and brought in socialism when they nationalized the banking and mortgage industry. So because of what was being done then by then President Bush, they said because he's nationalizing this stuff, he really wants this socialist country, so we're all socialists now. The writer of the article said this, "Whether we want to admit it or not, the America of 2009 is moving toward a European state." Someone said this, and I don't have the person who said it. I found the quote. "Socialism flourishes in a secular society." Oh, his name, it is. I do have his name. Robert Knight, American Civil Rights Union. He said it flourishes in a secular society. But listen to this. He says, "Socialism goes hand in hand with abandoning God and worshiping the idol of an ever-growing government." Socialism goes hand in hand with abandoning God. He also went on, he said, there are two types of social concerns, collectivism and capitalism. Collectivism takes many forms, such as socialism, fascism, Nazism, welfare state, and communism. But listen to this, the alternative system, and the only one that is compatible with freedom, is capitalism. All the other ones don't deal with freedom, do they? Socialism is not going to make you free. Young people today want to have free education, free health care, everything handed to them. Young people talk, and I'm around, and I know these school teachers do the same thing. Young people talk about the stuff that their parents have. High schoolers talk about the stuff that their parents have. Kids in college want what their parents have without putting in all the time and energy. We just bought some new furniture for each other for Christmas. And we talked with our kids, and we said, when we first got married, we had the worst-looking hand-me-down. It was black, fake leather furniture and some stuff. And, you know, we didn't buy brand-new furniture when we first got married and got out of high school. But high school kids and college kids want everything that their parents have today. They want it now. They want it given to them. They don't want to work for it. They don't care about putting in 25 years of working in a job and a career to have to be able to have that right to purchase that type of thing. They want stuff handed to them now. And that's not something new, but it's certainly getting worse because they see in a society of everything being handed to everyone. Collectivist system like socialism rely on the state to forcibly redistribute wealth. I don't think I have this quote down here either. His name is C. Bradley Thompson. He said, summarizing socialism, he said, it's a ruling system that uses compulsion and organized violence of the state to steal away property from its owner from the producer class, that's you and I who work, for redistribution to the parasitical class. It's taking what you've earned for as a working class to a parasitical class, which means parasites. They're just leeches that want to hang on and suck everything out of people who are working. That's what socialism is all about. So there's three things that we want to look at this morning. Number one, socialism rewards the lazy. One of the first verses that we looked at this morning, as I quoted, it said, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. That simply means don't reward those who want to be a parasite. Don't reward those who refuse to work. Defenders of socialism and these people like Ozio and Sanders and ones who are bringing it up always try to present themselves as compassionate people. We're concerned about young people being educated. We're concerned about people who don't have health care. We're concerned about all these people. They characterize capitalism, which is what our country is now. You work for what you get. They characterize us as people who don't care for the underprivileged. All we care about is ourselves. All we care about is our own needs and our own wants. They characterize it as a dog-eat system that produces inequalities. And that's true. Socialism or capitalism does do that. I'm not going to be Bill Gates. Probably none of you are either. But we can work to a level that that we don't have to be poor. This Thompson, the one I quoted earlier, he responds to these arguments as follows. He says, yes, there are winners and losers in capitalism. The winners are those who are honest, industrious, thoughtful, prudent, frugal, responsible, disciplined, and efficient. Listen to this. The losers are those who are shiftless, lazy, imprudent, extravagant, negligent, impractical, and inefficient. Capitalism is the only social system that rewards virtue and punishes vice. Simply put, this is again Thompson, he said, socialism rewards sloth and penalizes hard work, while capitalism rewards hard work and penalizes sloth. Capitalism penalizes those who don't work, and that's a scriptural, biblical mandate. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. You don't work, you don't eat. I've worked in Washington, D.C. in soup kitchens, and I have nothing against that. When a person cannot work, when welfare is there, and young and people are out on homeless and on the streets, and I've told you the story about the police officer that I thought was drug addict, the guy who ran the soup kitchen said, Pastor, he said he was shot in the head. He was a police officer in Washington, D.C., shot in the head and left for dead, and he's lost his mind. So he's lost his family, lost his home, his wife, his children all left. And it wasn't because he was lazy. It wasn't because he was a drug addict. It was because he was doing his job and he got shot and almost killed. So I don't have a problem with soup kitchens and things that reward those and help those who are in need. But when as a country we hand stuff out for free, cell phones and health care, and I'm paying for someone else's stuff who's never worked a day in their life, I have a problem with that. Russ gets fuming if you talk to him. We were talking at the last deacon's meeting about my taxes, being self-employed, and Larry was kind of sharing, he pays this tremendous amount. Billy, I'm sure, does too. As a self-employed person, we have to pay this stuff. And Russ was just fuming. He said, I just saw something that 52% of people pay nothing. And here's a pastor and people who are working but not making all that much money paying almost 20%. It's not fair. It isn't fair. But I'm not complaining about that. What I am complaining about is people who want everything for free because they're lazy. Number two, socialism replaces dependence on God. This is what Bernie Sanders from Vermont, the very open socialist, said in his Democratic campaign when he won the Democratic primary in February of 2016. He promised that government would become the givers by providing every need. He promised free college, free health care, and another $10 trillion in federal spending for those who didn't work. $10 trillion for those who didn't work. We can't get $5 billion to protect Americans with a wall. There's something kind of crazy going on here. So he says, what's not to like, and this is Robert Knight once again. He said, what's not to like if you view government as an ATM machine for all your needs? Or to put it another way, listen to this. Who needs God when government will supply everyone's need at someone else's expense? Young people don't need God because everything's being handed to them. They don't need a God to pray to. They don't need to trust in God and take him at his word because our government wants to give them everything. The word of God tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your way straight. See, young people are the real basis of Bernie Sanders' popularity because they're such a spiritually bankrupt generation. They want stuff handed to them. Again, part of that laziness. But they're forgetting that free stuff is never free, right? If my kids get free education, their kids are going to be paying for it. If I get something free, my kids will have to pay for it. Obviously, young people are very ignorant of economics because they're not being taught, as he said, they're not being taught about civics and stuff in school. They also lack common sense because they have to understand that nothing is free. And if the government wants to give you free education, you're going to spend the rest of your life paying for it. You're going to have exorbitant taxes eventually to pay for the stuff that everyone else is receiving free. That's why I believe a wall is important because we have, and again, I want immigrants to come in. Our nation was built on immigrants, but I don't want them coming in and taking jobs that Americans should have. I don't want them getting free health care when I have to pay for it. The only thing that is free to us is our salvation. But think about what it cost Christ. It cost him his life. So when people talk about free stuff, realize that they're not depending on God to provide. They're depending on the government. And then number three, socialism failed in the early church. And this is what I was talking about in that video. I've read this before, and I asked Russ if he'd ever heard it, and that's when he said, no, I've never said on good preaching. But Pastor Hibbs mentioned something that very few of us have ever considered. We read that passage in Acts, and it says, those who believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them with us all, or with all, as everyone might have need. That's socialism. That's what socialism is everyone bringing everything together, but there's a little bit more to it. There's people on the top who are sucking it off beside the people below. But the early church did pool all their belongings. They shared with everyone in need, which was a very nice thing to do. But God never told them to do that. God never instructed them that this is what you need to do to be a church and to provide for everyone else. They did it on their own. But the problem was, is Paul would write this a little bit later. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also you are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. This is the church in Jerusalem in Acts. A number of years later, Paul is taking up collections for them. The early church was severely persecuted. They faced a lot of problems, and they banded together in communal groups, which was fine. They wanted to defend each other. They wanted to support one another. But this whole common pot thing was where they got into trouble. No one forced them to do it. They could say they did it because of love. I don't know. But they did it, and it led to issues. It did not work for them. The goal of socialism in America is the same thing that happened in Acts. They want everyone to put everything together. Let's not sell it. We're just going to take it from you. Government wants to take it from us and make everyone else be able to just reach into the pot. But the real goal of socialism, experts say, is to cause people to be dependent on the government. Folks, we don't want to be dependent on the government either as individuals and certainly not as a church. I get stuff all the time in ministry newsletters that it's coming, that churches are losing their status as being able to be tax exempt, that pastors are being called in and pastors are going to be required to supposedly, it's been about the last 3 years, the pastors are going to have to present their messages to the government before we ever preach them on a Sunday so that they can be read and approved. I'm never going to do that. I'll go to jail first, but that's what's happening in America. They want to take away our freedom. They want to take away dependence on God. And I want to tell you, I appreciate a president who wants to put the Bible back in the schools. He's done that this week. I appreciate a man who, whether you agree with everything he says or not, he is defending religious freedom. Richard Murdoch, who's the British wealthy man, recently gave a speech comparing capitalism to socialism, and he made this statement. Socialism is a form of feudalism. The lord of the state and the aristocracy which arises around the state, the serfs, he's looking at British government, the serfs are the same people who have always been serfs throughout history. Socialism doesn't save anyone from working for the company store. It's just that the government becomes the company store. In other words, this wealthy, probably billionaire is saying, common people are always going to be common people. They're never going to be elevated. It's just the government that's going to be elevated because we allow things to be taken from us. Winston Churchill, I quoted earlier, said this, "The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessings. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of misery." I want to read that again. "The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessings. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of misery." Folks, that's the direction people want to take our country now. And I believe Christians, which we're going to talk about next week we're going to say, how has America lost God's blessing? How have we gotten to this point? And I believe we have lost God's blessing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But Americans, we need to stand up, we need to pray, and we need to speak out when we see this stuff happening. We can't just be quiet in our pews and just talk about this on a Sunday morning and not talk about any. We cannot be embarrassed to talk about it with our friends and our peers. We need to take a stand on the things of Christ and the Word of God. We don't want to beat people over the head with the Word of God, but we certainly want to live it out, and we want people to understand this is what the Bible says. This is prophesied. This is prophetic clues in the news that we see happening right today. Socialism on the rise, and God saying it never worked. It never will. People who don't work should not eat. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we go out and live our lives daily out in the world that we live in here in America, that we would be willing to be your voice. Lord, help us to be compassionate. Help us to be loving. Help us to be able to verbalize what you lay on our hearts without being judgmental. Lord, help us not to be ashamed to take a stand for you. And Lord, I pray for our national leaders. I pray that the ones who are looking to destroy our country will be voted out. And Lord, forgive us for putting people like this in. Forgive us for putting a Muslim person who gets sworn in on the Quran into office. Lord, forgive us for putting in people who are openly homosexual, people who take a stand and deny you. Lord, our nation is facing judgment because they brought it on themselves. But Lord, I pray that as your word tells us that if Christians would seek you and turn from our sin, Lord, that's the key, is we need to repent of our own sin and pray. Then you'll heal our land. So Lord, we just pray that your will be done in that. We pray, Lord, as we come to the communion table now, that we will be just especially grateful this morning of the freedom we have in Christ because of what's free to us is because of what Christ paid for us on the cross. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless the remainder of our day, bless our Sunday school hour, bless our potluck time, bless Awana tonight. Lord, bless us in the week ahead. Help us to stand up and serve you and to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen.